There was one in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who went past him, and he didn't greet me, of course. He just looked at anyone who passed by and asked, how old were you? And he asked me too, how old were you? But we were forewarned by older inmates who had been in Auschwitz already 2 or 3 years. And they said, and to my father, they said, you are younger. You must say you are younger. And to me, they said, you are older. You must be older. And he asked me how old I was, and I was then actually 16, but I think I said I was very old, because I found out that in the Auschwitz archives, they give my age, I think, as 26 or something like that. And that was all. But, of course, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know his name. It's only later that I found out by recollecting that night, which remains with me, of course, and will remain with me to the end of my life, that he was the angel of death. Anyone who couldn't work had to die. And the gas chambers were nearby, and the flames of the crematoria were there. We saw them rising to the heavens, but we didn't know it. In fact, I didn't know that I was alive for 3 days or so. I was in a nightmare, walking and sleeping and dreaming and all the while thinking that it's not true, I am not there. The rumors were constant that Mengele meant selection. Selection means death for those who are too weak, too young, too old, too tired. Mengele meant death. And he conducted the selections until very late. Well, in the room there were doctors. I'm not sure that it was Mengele. I remember one selection. It was a doctor. There's always a doctor at selections. Whether it was Mengele or not, I cannot say. But the moment the doctor came, a German doctor, it meant that some people were going to die. And by the way, the gas was usually taken in Red Cross ambulances. And therefore, when you think about medicine, it hurts. In those times, medicine did not cure. Medicine was used to kill. Well, it began in Germany itself with the so-called Gnadentod, the mercy death, so to speak. Hitler had decided that the useless people should be killed. And therefore, they actually took in mentally deranged people who were sentenced to death. And they were taken to gas chambers, improvised gas chambers, and they were killed. So the doctors arranged that. That means for every person, there was a death certificate. Usually, they would write something else, that the person died, the patient died of a heart attack or something else. They didn't say that he was murdered. It was going on. It was going on for some time, and until they stopped, because a bishop von Gallen brought it to the public, and then they stopped it. But for a while, it was meant German patients, German victims killed by German doctors. So the doctors had a lot to do with that operation. And why they did it, who knows? They obeyed. Many doctors joined the Nazi party, many of them. Occasionally, people disappeared, and we knew that they were healthy, and they did not disappear for that reason, not to the gas chamber. And then the rumors were that they were taken for experiments. It was not in my camp in Auschwitz III, but people were taken from our camp to other places, and to Auschwitz II, which was the main camp, or to Dachau, to Buchenwald. They were taken there, Ravensbrück. And we heard, of course, horror stories. They were not stories, they were realities. The experiments were, first of all, military experiments. To see, for instance, to help the pilots if they fall into the cold ocean. So they put inmates into ice and see the person die. Sometimes they used terrible things. They brought a woman, for instance, a naked woman, put them in a naked man who was just in ice to see if that heat can bring him back to life. These kind of experiments, and of course to perform surgery without anesthesia and pressure, to keep them pressure that's in the high atmosphere. You, whatever imagination, perverse imagination could tell you, they did it.